On this week's program in the news, we'll touch in at the Texas Capitol, where anti-abortion activists believe they're making progress. We'll hear about a city council member convicted of bribery in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we'll hear about a local government in Central Texas who's working against taxpayers. In our interview this week, we talked to State Senator Paul Bettencourt, who's leading the charge for property tax reform in the legislature. And we'll close with a commentary from Empower Texans CEO Michael Quinn Sullivan. Welcome back, friends, to this week's episode of Texas Scorecard Radio. I'm your host, Tony McDonald, coming to you from the 1836 studios in Austin, Texas. You can find us on the web, find all of our content at www.texasscorecard.com. If you're ever interested in what I'm thinking and saying on any given day, you can follow me on Twitter at TweetTonyMac. With this week's top story, I wanted to bring in Carrie Cheshire, Vice President for Texans for Fiscal Responsibility, talk about some things going on in the Texas legislature. Anti-abortion activists, they're getting really excited about progress on an abolish abortion bill and where it's headed in the legislative process.
Well, that's right, Tony. House Bill 896 by State Representative Tony Tenderholt, a Republican from Arlington, would outright abolish abortion entirely in the state of Texas by really removing a defense to prosecution, an existing law that allows women who seek abortion and those who perform medical doctors who perform an abortion not to be prosecuted under the fullest extent of the law. Something that, you know, perhaps if somebody were to break into your house and stab your pregnant wife in the stomach, they would not be defended from prosecution.
That's considered a murder just like anything else, right?
Right. And Tony Tenderholt's legislation would call it a murder. Being referred to a very favorable committee in the Texas House by House Speaker Dennis Bonin, and it's something that anti-abortion activists are very excited about.
Yeah, and so this is a bill that has been a priority of the Republican Party of Texas for a while. There's a group called Abolish Abortion Texas, been very active grassroots effort to promote legislation that says, look, we're tired of waiting on the courts, we're tired of waiting on small chipping away bills, things that reduce the number of weeks, or we say these abortions are okay and these abortions aren't okay. It's abolition. We're just the same as there was abolition under slavery and those kinds of things. There's abolition of abortion. We're going to end it entirely is the MO. The bill filed in the past session died. They're starting to think maybe we're going to make some progress this
time. Yeah, that's right, Tony. As they say, you know, we shouldn't regulate murder is their argument. And so they're not really about the restrictions. They're about the complete abolition.
Sure.
But as you've mentioned, this bill actually going to a Republican committee this time, chaired by State Representative Jeff Leach, a Republican lawmaker for Plano, who actually signed on as a co-author to this legislation, which was identical last session. The only thing that's changed is the number. Tony Tenderholt filing the legislation and the legislation itself has remained completely the same. And he's got a Republican majority on his committee. All the votes he needs to pass it out.
Yeah, assuming that these Republicans support the bill, of course. That's the million-dollar question at this point. In previous sessions, you had a liberal Republican speaker, Joe Strauss, and his committee chairman who killed this bill in committee. This guy, Leach, State Rep Leach, has the authority to bring this bill up for a vote and move it forward.
Absolutely. I mean, he can call a vote just about any meeting, and he can really use a lot of procedural maneuvers and powers as committee chair to make sure that people do want to vote for this legislation if necessary. And so I anticipate that we will see this bill move at least farther than it has in previous sessions of the Texas legislature.
Yeah. Very interesting. Something for people to keep an eye on. You know, anti-abortion activists very excited about this possibility and the kind of change in leadership, what that might mean for the prospect of abolishing abortion here in Texas and across the country.
Well, that's right, Tony. And we'll be following this issue along with other issues very closely at TexasScorecard.com.
Next, let's turn and head up to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and talk with Aaron Anderson, a former local official up there pleading guilty to a big crime.
That's right, Tony. Yet another city council member, former city council member in this case, Carolyn Davis, pleading guilty to taking bribes from a real estate developer in a low-income housing project.
Yeah, basically there's this scheme that exists where local officials have a stamp of approval over these low-income housing projects, and it's been a machine for corruption in the past.
That's right. This is hardly the first such case of real estate developers looking to get an easy fix on some of this low-income housing tax credits and other development money. And they found that one of the easiest ways to get it is to simply bribe the local officials who have to put their stamp of approval.
Yeah, I remember there was a scandal years back with State Rep Terry Hodge and some of the other folks there in Dallas doing this same sort of thing. It sounds like Davis will be going to prison for a few years.
That's right. She's cut a deal for 3 years in prison for accepting $40,000 in bribes. And the developer that bribed her has also been indicted.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens with him. Interestingly enough, this is getting a little traction in the mayor's race and in the legislature, some reform efforts.
Well, that's right. State Rep Eric Johnson of Dallas, who actually swept into office in that scandal you mentioned about 10 years ago, he defeated Terry Hodge after she was one of the dozen or so corrupt officials swept up in a similar scheme. And now in his fifth term, running for mayor and still in the legislature, he's decided to file a bill to address this problem.
Yeah, and so we'll see what happens there in the legislature. But I expect this will be more of an issue there in the Dallas mayor's race moving forward. Thanks for your reporting on it, Aaron.
You bet. Thank you, Tony.
Finally, let's turn and talk to Jacob Asmussen with Texas Scorecard Central Texas Bureau. One Central Texas town coming out and opposing property tax reform. You did a little write-up about it. I thought there were a few interesting things that were going on there.
Yeah, you know, Tony, cities across the state don't really like this idea of giving citizens more power. So the city of Pflugerville, which is a suburb outside of Austin, recently passed this declaration opposing new property tax reform happening at the state capitol.
Yeah, so this is House Bill 2, Senate Bill 2 going on in the legislature. You've got a really simple way of describing the bill.
Yeah, the law simply is if a local government like Pflugerville City Council wants to raise your taxes above 2.5%, they just have to ask for your permission first.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That's it.
That's the core of the bill. Of course, the city council coming out saying, oh, this is something we want to oppose as a city government. The reason I wanted to talk to you and talk about this Pflugerville example is this great kind of irony. The very next thing on the agenda, there's, you know, agenda item 3 is let's say no to property tax reform. Agenda item 4, let's hand taxpayer money out to some private entity.
Exactly, Tony. These city council members said, oh, if we have to ask citizens for their money, we won't be able to provide police and firefighters. And then the very next thing they did was they gave $105,000 away to just this random handpicked corporation.
Yeah, so a private developer comes in front of the city council, says we want $105,000. They're pulling their hair out about police and fire and essential services, yet they're handing out cash to private entities.
Exactly. They said, well, hey, if we have to ask citizens, we won't be able to afford basic city services. And then they make this special deal and give away a bunch of money to a business.
That's amazing. What are the city council members saying about this tax reform effort?
You know, one of them said, asking citizens for their money would endanger the growth and prosperity of the city. The mayor said that we're concerned for the welfare of the citizens if we have to ask them for their money.
Yeah, and so it's okay. We've got legislation in the legislature moving that says local governments like the Pflugerville City Council, you've got to go talk to your citizens, get their approval if you want more of their money. And if that passes, the city council position is, if that passes, that would endanger the voters.
That would endanger
the citizens.
Giving them more power would be concerning for their welfare.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, it's not the only place in Texas that's doing this, but I think maybe the most laughable example of local governments just totally crazy. They're handing out the taxpayer funds immediately after they say, oh, well, we can't protect taxpayers. I think it's pretty unique. Appreciate your reporting on it.
Thanks, Jacob. Tony.
Texas Scorecard Radio is a project of Empower Texans. At texasscorecard.com or empowertexans.com, you can find more news and daily updates from all around the Lone Star State. You can also find updates from Empower Texans and Texas Scorecard on Facebook and Twitter, and follow Empower Texans on Instagram. Texas Scorecard's News Digest goes out weekly via email and monthly in print. Subscribe online and find more information at empowertexans.com. Someone's always keeping score. We think it ought to be the taxpayers.
Well, listeners who've been listening to the program on a weekly basis know that pretty much every week we're talking about the issue of property tax reform. Basically, the most important issue being handled by the Texas legislature this legislative session. And so it's my pleasure to welcome on State Senator Paul Bettencourt, who's leading that effort, authoring Senate Bill 2 in the Senate. Thanks for joining us, Senator.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Well, I wanted to have you on. It's great to hear from the author, the guy who's moving this thing. This is a bill you worked on last legislative session 2 years ago. Got a lot of progress done there, but it ultimately hit a wall and didn't pass. And now you're back with a lot more political support this time around for a reform effort. So I'd like to hear a little bit for listeners who maybe know that maybe something's going on in the legislature but don't know the details. Tell folks what you're working on, what the bill would do, kind of 10,000 foot view. We'll certainly talk about those details, but what the bill would do and what the situation is.
Well, Tony, if we go back to the last time we tried to get property tax relief, it was in the special session, and rather humorously, the House was at a 6% rollback number, the Senate was at 4%, and in the intermeeting year, the governors decided that he wanted to compromise at 2.5%.
And so this is this rollback rate, for folks who don't know, this is the rate at which they get to have a say in whether there's a property tax increase.
Right. This is really important. That's been in the property tax code for 40 years. It's how much a taxing unit can raise their tax levy from the previous year. So if it's a 2.5% number, that means the tax levy only goes up 2.5%, and that's a lot of tax relief. Now, what's been happening is that rollback rate went up during the Carter administration when it was high inflation rate, the misery index, and it has not come down in 38 years. So this is something that will slow the growth of tax bills dramatically across the state.
Yeah, let's talk about that problem for a moment, because I think people back at home, you know, not everybody listening, they either are a homeowner and they directly see the impact of a property tax bill, or maybe they're a renter and they just see their rent going up year over year, which is a lot of times driven by property taxes. But folks know, okay, the prices are going up for themselves, certainly in the suburban and urban areas, but across the state. What's the state of the problem? Do we have any data about how bad property tax increases have been over the last few years and over the past decade?
Well, it's pretty astonishingly bad from the standpoint of an increase level. In the urban areas, you could easily see a 1/3, 33% increase in your property tax bill in just 4 years. Now, think about that. That means that the average home's paying about $5,000 a year now. It's been up $1,300 in just 4 years. That's real healthcare money, education money, entertainment money, whatever money, but it's real money coming out of taxpayer pocketbooks into government coffers. Now, why is the problem, occurring? Well, it's real simple. As property values go up, tax rates don't come down. And if property values go up 10% a year and tax rates don't come down, that means your tax bill goes up 10% a year. And we're well halfway to doubling a lot of people's property taxes, because property value increases are just been really been it's a moonshot. In fact, my joke is that the state bird of Texas is no longer the mockingbird, it's the construction crane.
And with all of that growth coming here, that's the growth in property values that you're talking about, and they're driving these tax increases, along with local governments who don't want to tighten the belt and lower rates and keep revenue at something resembling flat. Let's talk a little bit about how the bill would work and how the law would change, because I think people may be familiar. Okay, so we've got a rollback rate right now, an 8% rate, that local governments, if they adopt a rate over that, local citizens can petition and have an election called to roll back the rate back to that 8% increase. This would change the number to 2.5%, but more critically, it actually would have an automatic election for voters.
See, the current limit's set too high because it's 8% over last year's tax roll plus new construction, which means a lot of cities are growing at 12, 13, 14% a year. In fact, we've had a bunch of cities testify, and they're rather shocked when I can pull the comptroller data and describe how bad the increases are in their municipalities. Hmm. Now, the way it's going to work, it used to be you'd have to go out and get petitions. So, look, in the DFW area, you'd have to go fill up Jerry Jones World, or in Houston, you'd have to fill up Reliance Stadium twice to get petitions. That stuff's not going to happen in 90 days. So we want an automatic election that if they exceed it, it goes straight to the voters in November. That's the best form of local control, when the voters get to vote on their own property tax increases.
Absolutely. I mean, ultimately, the complaint you hear from local governments is, oh, give us local control. But there's really no more local control than just letting the voters say, well, we approve of this increase or we don't approve of this increase. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the political situation in the legislature. Really unique situation with this bill. Identical bills filed in the House and the Senate, House Bill 2 and Senate Bill 2, both choosing this 2.5% number, which is lower than what was compromised to in the last legislature. And you've got the governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker, and obviously a core of supporters behind this bill as filed and as presented. But there's obviously pressure from more liberal Republicans, obviously pressure from Democrats, lots of testimony from local government officials who don't want this kind of constraint. They don't want to have to go to their voters for approval for tax increases. These people are opposing this this thing, and obviously the pressure there is saying, oh, well, we want this number to rise. We want it to go to 4% or 5% or 8% or whatever the number would be. Maybe we'll accept some of these other changes, but we want that number to be higher. What's happening there? Are we at risk of seeing that number rise as a part of the legislative process?
Well, look, you're always at risk of something happening, and especially when you're in a property tax environment. But we made it very clear that numbers like 5 or 6 are off the table because they don't do enough for tax relief. The key thing is that you have to get below 5% to slow recapture in school districts and compress the tax rate so that as values go up, it's on the school portion of the bill. So this year, the dynamics are different because we're dealing with the school side. And that's been a big argument by the Texas Association of Counties Section 1 Municipal League why are we not doing it for the schools? Well, we are doing it for the schools. And it's time for them to realize that the taxpayer's ability to pay has to come into the equation, because otherwise taxes grow 2 to 3 times faster than Texans can pay. And oh, by the way, if you're a renter, you're not getting a free lunch, you're getting eaten for lunch, because the increases on apartments and rental property are twice as much as generally as they are in single family homes.
Yeah, they're just a little more out of sight, but it's still passed on ultimately to the renters there. Interesting thing with these people saying, oh, well, the number needs to go up. They're just saying, okay, if a local government wants to raise taxes 3.5% as opposed to 2.5%, oh, well, we don't want the people to have a vote on that. We don't want there to be an election. It's basically they don't believe voters support the tax increases, yet they think that they need to do them anyway.
You know, Tony, the problem with all this is that I think that's a, you know, indefensible position for what the taxpayers are going through, because the taxpayers really are getting pressed to where we've had testimony, people having to give up their homes, they've had to move their businesses. You know, even in the People's Republic of Austin, there's like a list of restaurants that have closed.
Oh, yeah.
Because they can't pay the property tax.
That's right.
All right. So, you know, the reality is that we need to take a step back for the taxpayers and throw the brakes on all of this, because otherwise, somebody can claim that we're on the socialist side of growth, and we shouldn't be there. Texas needs to be the example. And this time the dynamics are different, Tony. We've had like Montgomery County, Galveston County, Collin County. There's, you know, commissioners from Lubbock. There's people that are actually supporting the bill because they've been keeping growth down on their tax bills. And they don't want to be shilling for people that, quite frankly, are trying to lie to their taxpayers by saying, I'm not raising your taxes by not raising the tax rate, even though their property values are going through the roof.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the things that I say to people out there, and I'd ask you, do you think this would be helpful, is, you know, people always want to say, okay, should I call my senator or representative? Obviously, it's something in Washington. Should I call my congressman and say what my opinion is? And of course, yes, you should do that. But I tell people, look, you should also talk to your local officials and say, hey, I want you as a local leader to not only, you can't do this change, like, yeah, they can't pass a bill, but you can be supportive of this. And so, you know, should folks out there be talking to their local officials saying, hey, we want you to back Senate Bill 2 and House Bill 2, not oppose it?
Right. And in fact, that makes a big difference, because that's how a lot of the counties have come around to this. I just talked to County Judge Henry from Galveston County. You know, they passed a resolution, and you want your elected officials supporting SB 2 and not opposing it. Because if they're opposing it, it means they want more and more of your money. So call them with a specific message, but call the legislators too, because they need to hear, look, there's been a Quinnipiac poll, other polling that shows the 2.5% is off the charts popular. Like, Texas voters want to see it pass 77% to 18%.
Okay, like 69% of Democrats support it. Right. You know, even the pro-tax party voters having a say.
It's because everybody is getting taxed to death. So call them, talk to your legislators, but talk to your local officials, and just say, look, enough's enough. You know, get a reasonable limit, and then if you need to bring something to me to vote on, I'll be happy to vote on it.
That's right.
Because, I mean, we know the Texas voter makes good decisions and in the ballot box, and they can make good decisions on their tax rates too.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right and on point. Well, we're running out of time. Thank you for the work you're doing on the bill. It's excellent to see this making progress in the legislature. Tell folks, if they need to connect with your office or they want to get involved in the process, how do they do that?
Well, to contact my office, it's 512-463-0107, or you can go straight to my website at paulbetancourt.com. And you can see the updates of what's happening on the bill. And, for that matter, you'll see updates on, you know, a variety of other sites and other senator sites. And, Republican caucus will be state Senate Republican caucus will track it. Look, there's a lot of interest in this. And I just keep talking about it. keep talking to your local officials and keep putting calls into your state representatives and state senators wherever you live, because this taxing problem affects everybody. They don't care what party you're in, where you live, where you sleep in the state, where you work, because you're paying about a little over half, you know, of the bill is, you know, is where you work, and a little less than half is where you live. So it's an all-in for Texans, and Texans need tax relief across the board. And I appreciate the time, Tony, because getting the word out is now critical to getting the right votes in the legislature.
All right. Well, you hear it, listeners. There, time to get involved. Call your representatives. Call your senators. Call your local officials. Tell them to support House Bill 2, Senate Bill 2. Let's give voters a say. Thank you for your work on the on these bills and work on this issue, Senator.
Thank you, Tony.
What are you doing Sunday evening? With the Texas legislative session back in full swing, we're spending our Sundays making sure you are staying informed with Sunday Scorecard, a product of Texas Scorecard TV. Catch the Texas Scorecard team and guests every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. live on the Empower Texans Facebook page to hear the latest news from Austin, D.C., or even your local city governments. That's Sunday Scorecard, live Sundays at 7:30 p.m. throughout the legislative session. You can find show archives and more information at texasscorecard.com. Join the conversation this Sunday evening.
Why do some Republicans want to give property tax reform only to Democrat voters? Michael Quinn Sullivan tells us more in this week's commentary.
Why is one Republican state representative working to ensure that only liberal Democrats get the benefits of property tax reform? This is Michael Quinn Sullivan with a Texas Scorecard radio commentary. Republican State Representative Kyle Casal of Bryan is working to exempt his own rural and suburban legislative district from sweeping property tax reform legislation that's supported by Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and House Speaker Dennis Bonin. House Bill 2 and Senate Bill 2 would set a 2.5% voter approval trigger on property tax increases. Any increase in tax burdens on existing properties over 2.5% would have to be approved by voters. And those elections would be triggered automatically. No more costly petition drives. Better yet, the election would have to be in November, not tucked away on some obscure date, minimizing voter participation. As you might imagine, school districts, cities, and counties are apoplectic about these new levels of transparency and local control. They don't want citizens having any functional say in the property tax burdens being levied against them. Liberal Austin Mayor Steve Adler says it's inappropriate for citizens to be that involved in their local governments. Out-of-control local officials who resent public input can be found everywhere, not just in Austin. As an example, the left-wing mayor of Amarillo, Ginger Nelson, has gone so far as to try to end citizen comments at city council meetings and even had someone arrested for clapping. So, yeah, the fiefdoms we call local government really don't want more voter input. But polling shows Texans by large and bipartisan numbers are frustrated with the property tax system and ready for relief and reform. An absurd sop to the rural tax gougers, the reform package currently exempts from the protections any taxpayers where the governing entity receives less than $15 million in tax revenues. Why citizens in small rural towns shouldn't have a voice on heavy property taxes has never been explained, precisely because it's simply an absurd sop to rural tax gougers. It should be noted the Senate version has been amended to let people in those rural areas opt into the protections. But Kyle Casal, the Bryan State Representative, wants to go the other way. He wants to set the threshold for taxpayer protections at $40 to $50 million instead of $15. This means he'd only offer property tax reform to urban voters in districts overwhelmingly held by Democrats rather than the Republicans who populate suburban and rural areas. If Casal has his way, voters who picked Beto over Cruz last November would get the benefits of property tax reform, while Republican voters would be left unprotected. So why is Kyle Casal protecting Democrats and not his own Republican constituents? Well, he told an Austin newspaper recently that he's really more concerned with giving, quote, leeway, unquote, to local government functionaries than he is with protecting taxpayers. Lawmakers like Kyle Casal, who treat taxpayers like ATM machines machines existing for the pleasure of local government are no better than Democrats. If the GOP appeases Democrat-light politicians like Casal in 2019, then they can't be surprised if voters kick the party of Lincoln and Reagan to the curb in 2020. With a Texas Scorecard Radio commentary, I'm Michael Quinn Sullivan.
Well, that's all I've got for you. Thanks for listening, and join us back here next week for another episode of Texas Scorecard Radio.
Texas Scorecard Radio is brought to you each week as a public service from the Empower Texans Foundation and in partnership with the Lincoln Institute and this station. You can download podcasts from each program and learn more at empowertexans.com.